Now then, the message. I'm sorry Dr. Rice could not come. He's been a blessing to me, and I love Dr. Rice, and I've stood to him through the years. Not that it would help him a great deal, but it was a blessing to me to stand by and for a good man who loves the Word of God and who's been such a blessing. Would you pray with me now before we preach? Our Heavenly Father, we pray to save us from hypocrisy and everything false and unreal. And dear Lord, I'm going to deliver with thy help that which thou didst give me this morning in the room. And I pray that it'll be a wonderful, wonderful time of eating fresh things from the garden. Now make us hungry, and then make us forgetful of the things about us and the troubles and the things that would tend to disturb and steal our mind, and to pluck away the sweet gospel seed that will be planted. Bless Brother Jack. Bless the new book that's come from the press. We pray that all that they can print will be shared and received and be a blessing in a time when evangelistic fires have burned down the cold ashes and a deadness such as we've never known before has come across our land. We pray now that you'd bless the young people. We're glad they're here today, and pray to bless every mother and dad, and dear Lord, bless the preachers, and especially do we pray today for Brother Haynes. Dear Lord, he's thy servant. I pray to heal his body and rebuke the devourer and raise him up to glorify Jesus. Bless the other request that came a moment ago concerning the wife. We know that thou art able. We believe that thou art willing. And we trust thee, dear Lord, to supply every need. And let this service not find one person going out of this tabernacle with any need unmet. We pray to fill us with thyself, and may the Word become powerful. If it's healing we need, we pray that it'll come from the Word. If it's salvation, we know it'll come from the Word. If it's encouragement, we know it'll have to come right out of the Word. So strengthen us now, and help us to behave ourselves wisely in the house of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Honey in the rock. I've never known, and neither have you, a generation so filled with hatred and bitterness and ugliness, violence, murders, assassins, and assassinations, and lack of faith and people afraid. I was in Atlanta when the body of Mr. Martin Luther King came back. I was preaching, and people were afraid. For the first time in all the years in Atlanta, the house was not filled. People were afraid, they said, to get outside. Such a fear and such a fall of ill will across America. But you know, that doesn't have to get a hold of the Christian, does it? The Christian can stay sweet. You know, you've heard me say before, when I went to Baylor University 36 years ago, and it seemed impossible. It really did. I mean, it seemed impossible that physically, the doctor said it was. He said, you can't make it physically. It seemed impossible financially. I had no money. Therefore, took the little old cow off to school, and she paid my board and room. It seemed impossible educationally. I mean, I had no education. I'd gone to school in a little country school, sometimes 5 months, sometimes 7 months. And when the money played out, the school closed. And so I had no background, and I didn't think I could ever pass, and it's still a miracle how I passed. You take a combination of ignorance and sickness, that's a terrible duet there, overcome. And it seemed, and yet, and I could see other students about me, and they could make their grades so good and just run and hoot and play. And I'd just dig at it and work at it, and I didn't feel, I couldn't sleep at night. And only, I tell you, I was going to two or three schools at the same time. I was learning some discipline and some things, and learning to pray, and learning to walk by faith, and only God could have given me my diploma from Baylor in 1937. But in the midst of it all, God began to give me theme songs. I've had a theme song every year of my life, I suppose, since then. I've taken some songs that Bill has sung, and they've become a theme song, maybe for a year, maybe 2 years. Come and Dine is one of them.
Yes.
And record it and so forth. But there's always been a song. Always been a song. Tonight I'd like to mention about a song I heard yesterday. I was in one of the most precarious positions I've ever been in. And one of the most unusual songs that could ever be sung came blurting out over my airplane radio. But anyhow, God has used singing and songs to help my heart. Now, to me, praise, the right kind of praise, I'm not talking about this Sunday morning doxology business. I'm not talking about just a little prelude and a postlude and something else. I'm talking about real praise that comes from the heart and goes to the great heart of God like incense. I believe that real praise is the only or the main lubricant of the soul to keep things running smoothly. It'll happen in a home, in a church. You show me, and one of the things about this service this morning, the singing was wonderful. I mean, it just looked like it was flowing. All the specials were good, wonderful, and the Brother Bill singing and so forth. But praise is God's lubrication system for the soul. And if you don't praise God, you'd say, well, Brother Walt, do I have to care too? Not necessarily. Be well if you could. But if you can't, my daddy couldn't, but he'd come from the cow pen singing, "There's a lamb that's fairer than they." And he didn't always remember the right words, but I mean, he was praising the Lord. Now, I believe that a fellow can get up in the morning, and I've taught myself, and it's come now then to where it's easy, just to wake up and say, well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise His wonderful name. Praise the name of Jesus forever. I mean, I just kind of got addicted to it. And it's easy. And I'll come through a storm in my plane. And I'll be praying. And then I'll just get through the storm. The sun would come out like it did yesterday. I said, well, praise the Lord. Made it through another one. I mean, to me, that's a part of being a honeycomb Christian. And no person in you has a right to be anything less than a honeycomb Christian. Now we begin to give you the scriptures that I went over, talking about honey in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 43, verse 11, this is when Jacob was about to starve, but God wouldn't let him. This is the time when little Joseph had been sold, and down in Egypt's land, had become the prime minister, and had built big granaries and tremendous storage barns, and had put away enough to live on during that long famine. And so word has come to his father, who's now an old man, and he's yonder in the hills and longing for something to eat. And so you know what happened. He sent his boys down there, and they met the young man, their brother, that they'd sold the Ishmaelite slave traders, and they didn't know him. He knew them. And he did some things, you know, and put the money back in the bags. And then finally, they went back, and they had to leave a boy down there locked up in the jailhouse or in the custody of Joseph. And he got back up, and the father said, we've got to have something to eat. Well, he said, we're the only place we can go get it down in Egypt. Got to go to Egypt. Well, he said, yeah, but I can't stand the loss of any more of my boys. He said, Joseph is not. You ever read that? I mean, you ever read that? Joseph is not. Joseph was more his than anybody. He'd leave that not off of.
Amen.
You know, that's true. A lot of people, we talk like Jesus is not, but Jesus is.
Yes.
A lot of people act like faith is not. The Bible says faith is. I mean, the most wonderful is in the Bible is now faith is.
Yes.
And so, he said, well, we're going to all starve. We're just desperate. And said, y'all go down there, but said, I want you to take a little honey. Fetch him some honey. Honey. Sweeten things up a little bit. God's people ought to traffic in honey. I mean spiritual honey. All right? Exodus 16, verse 31. The Bible said when that manna fell from heaven, it was like wafers made out of honey. That's good. I mean, I've included in the book the most perfect sweet there is honey. Honey is far better than sugar because it's like the bee made it. Honey is so pure that a germ can't live in it. Honey is so pure that you'll not interfere with a fast even if you take a little honey while you're fasting. Honey. Ah, listen. When you call your wife honey, you done call her something. You know it? I mean, listen. Don't call her sugar because she could get mad about that. Call her honey. See, refined, you know, sugar's been refined and it's lifeless. So don't call her sugar because you'd say, you might be saying you're lifeless. But if you call her honey, I mean, that's good. That's pure. And that's wonderful. That's health given. And so, in Exodus chapter 16, verse 31, he said it's like wafers made with honey. You boys and girls, would you let me just say something nice to you? Instead of putting a bunch of dead white sugar over your cereal, why don't you put some honey over it? I mean, that's God's sweetening. See, man never was sick till man invented white sugar. Now he's been poisoned. That's where a lot of the cancer and ulcers and poisoning comes from the sugar. Yes. And while I'm on this, why don't you get some things fit to eat for breakfast? How about that? Why don't you get away from these commercial cereals that's death in a box? I love you and I'm interested in you, but I want you to live. Why don't you get some steel-cut oats? And why don't you get some various things that are healthy and put a little honey over it? Why don't you get some black mission figs and dates and raisins? And why don't you get some natural things like that that God has made just with his own wonderful hand? Why don't you do that? Don't you want to live? Do you love to be sick? No, you can't swim while you're sick. You couldn't even ride a horse while you're sick. Huh? Why don't God speak? I wish somebody told me this when I was coming up. Think about 30-some-odd years sick. Sick, laying around the bed. Just laying around the bed. Oh, brother, after I got to preaching, preaching didn't cure me. Man, I just sick after I got preaching as I was before. I lay up in the bed, week, two at a time, big toe pointing toward the roof of a hospital, discouraged, wanted to go preaching, couldn't. And yet, after 30-some-odd years, I found something, and it's all in the book. It's all in the book. And then God has blessed you. You see, the things of the Word of God, they're simple. The wise folks, the wise in the world, they miss it. The smart elites miss it, just like salvation. Look at all these big smart aleck preachers. They don't know how to preach a simple salvation. Just tell people to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and confess sin and come to him and call on him. I mean, they don't know anything about that.
Right.
There's a bunch of little simple preachers like me and some others. You know, they just get out and tell them Jesus died for you and rose again according to the Scriptures. Now come and trust him and confess your sin. He'll make you a new creature in Christ Jesus and he'll do it.
Yeah.
Oh, we go back to simple things. Health is just as simple as pure water. Greatest healing in the world is water. Well, I can take a 5-gallon jug of water and a dozen lemons and cure most of you what's ailing you. Well, no doubt, I'll just wash it out of you. That's all I do, just poison all accumulated in that. I'd just kind of wash it out, you'd be all right. That's what old Dr. Hill used to do to me. He'd take a bunch of old blue calomel. And I'd have to drink a bunch of water with it. And then, brother, from then on, but I was better the next day. My appetite had left. I got hungry again. When the poison was done away, When Lester became clean on the inside, he got hungry. Are you listening? When people become pure spiritually, they get hungry. Don't you kid yourself, boys. When people get right with God, you don't have to beg them too long to go to church. They're hungry. They'll head for the trough. It's got something in it. Deuteronomy 32:13 said, honey out of the rock. You know, back in those days, and it's still so, bees, many times, if folks won't build them into bee guns, they'll make one of their own. They'll go to a bee tree. You ever heard about cutting out a bee tree? Oh, listen, that's good old rich honey right out of a bee tree. And then bees will go to the rock, and they'll build them a honeycomb in the rock. Fact is, I believe that's where we all put our honey, is in the rock. That's Jesus. Oh, listen, he's the greatest place I know of to put that honey. And we don't put enough honey into Jesus. Don't tell him enough that we love him, all right? Judges 14:8-9 says, there's a fellow by the name of Samson, and he killed a lion, and the bees, and I never had seen this till this morning, the bees came along and made a bee drum out of a dead lion. Bees are a wonderful thing, isn't it? Think about it. You know, nothing else in the world would thought about making a beehive out of a carcass of a lion except a bee. But the bee, evidently, realized and wanted to give us a lesson that we can make a bee gum out of some victories God gives us.
Good.
And put some honey in it.
Amen. I see that.
There's sweetness. And there's good honey. I know that the old carcass of the lion wasn't too good, but there wasn't anything wrong with the honey. And remember this, honey is so pure that you cannot corrupt honey. So the bees just came and said, listen, we'll just make a nice big bee gum. Got all the ribwork here, you know, and everything. We'll put the honey in here. So it's full of honey. Yes. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 27. Jonathan bit the end of the rod and dipped it in the honeycomb. Dipped it in the honeycomb. Big Lord said to me this morning that the Holy Spirit, of course, is the law of the power, and if we keep the Holy Spirit and some honey near for him, and after all, we'll get to another verse where I be the Holy Spirit likes honey. I be the Holy Spirit's the one that sweetens up everything. He'll take the Word of God and make it sweet to us.
Yes.
He'll cleanse our heart, and the Word of God's better till we get right with the Lord, but when the Holy Spirit cleanses our heart, then He'll make our faith different. A lot of people have got to play that fact. The fact is, everybody's born with one. That's reading the little old child eating the thing in the world. And if you don't get your children's appetites converted, they'll die before they're supposed to, I guarantee you. Everything about man's got to be converted. Got to get his feet converted, hands converted, head converted, eyes converted, heart converted, everything about it. Appetite, stomach, lungs, everything else got to be converted. Die, total depravity. But if we believe in total depravity, then everything man's got to get converted. It's no good. And I'm working on all of it. A good many years ago, I just said, well, I'm going to try to get soul converted, but I'm going to get everything converted, soul connected with. That means the mind, the eyes, the ears, and the feet, and the thoughts, and everything. I believe everything ought to get converted. I say, I believe that's what Jesus told me when he said, Simon, Jonah, you know, send the sort that you might see if he is weak. I pray for thee that thy faith fail not, so that when thou art converted. Come on. Looked to me like something about Simon hadn't been converted. You said, don't you think he's saved? Sure, I know he's saved. But he hadn't been converted. And I tell you, I think the problem we face in our churches is a bunch of unconverted Christians. I mean, there was a good deacon hadn't been converted. He'd been saved, he'd go to heaven, but he hadn't been converted. Old pocketbook all wrinkled up, hanging on to it, you know. He hadn't been converted. Oh, I've got a thing sweet about this, honey, business, you know. I mean, I got thinking this morning, but Christians talk about, I'm going to give 10%, then I'm going to keep 90%. I'd hate to think a little honeybee would be that ugly. But did you know a honey lives on what he makes?
A bee lives on what he makes. He makes honey and he lives on his honey. But he doesn't eat 90% of it, praise God. Come on.
Amen. Good.
That little fella just, all he keeps is just enough to keep him buzzing, singing, and pies, and making honey. That's all we need. Glory to God, that's all we need.
Right. Yeah.
Just give him enough honey. Put him on. And let me share the rest with somebody else. Praise God. Oh, I behave myself better.
I like that.
Oh, listen to me, dear friends. God's people have no right to be stored up a bunch of honey somewhere nobody can get to it.
Right.
And I'll tell you one thing. You sure not going to need to take your beehives to heaven because there'll be plenty when we get there. I'll be having heavenly honey up yonder. Ah, listen. For my honey from the Lord. Now then, you know, this is what it said. So he took the end of the rod, he dipped it in honeycomb, and he put his hand to his mouth, and his eye was enlightened. And his eyes. You know, there's something revealing about honey. Something that'll, it'll give you knowledge, it'll give you wisdom. You don't want the spiritual honey. And then you know, 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse 29, David, God's servant, and after his own heart was weary, out in the wilderness of exile, and his son was after him, and they were plotting his death. And in the midst of it, somebody said, let's take him some honey. Take him some honey. Let's go after him and tell the weary king, bless his old heart. He's done wrong, and he's made mistakes, and he's had trouble, and he's been run around, and all of that. And Saul is going to try to kill him, but listen, let's go after him and give our future king some honey. So they took honey. Dear friend, honey's good enough for a king. Yes. 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 3. And I saw this morning. Jeroboam said to his wife, I want you to go talk to Ahijah, and I want you to disguise yourself, and I want you to take a cruise of honey. Take a cruise of honey and go. He said, now don't tell them who you are. He said, I want you to go with them. We're going to find out something. Dear friend, when that old hypocrite come walking in, he just announced who she was. There's something real about honey. I mean, you can't fool honey. And therefore, if it's real honey, you can tell it. You're not to dilute honey. You're not to add anything to honey. You're not taking anything from honey. Honey's complete. We need a honey experience. Knowing a hypocrite when we see them, and a liar when we meet them. We need to know whether they got real honey or not. Honey is real. Hadn't been fooled with by the hypocrites. Proverbs, excuse me, Psalm 19:10, more to be desired than gold. Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And then Psalm 119, verse 103, how sweet to my taste and to my mouth. He said, our sweetest words to my taste, even like honey to my mouth. Something sweet about the Word of God. Then last of all, and I haven't referred to quite all of them, but I want to give you the characteristics of a honeycomb Christian. John, the Bible said, John, for his meat had locusts and wild honey. Locusts and wild honey. Now I want to ask you a question. Do you want to be a honeycomb Christian? You know, turn to the book of Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, verse 42, I believe it is. It's the last chapter, and it's the 42nd verse. This is the experience when Jesus met after the crucifixion. And seeking to convince his doubting disciples. It's a great question. Verse 38, first of all, he said, why are you troubled? Why are you troubled? Verse 39, behold my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Handle me. See, for spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they yet believed not for joy, and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? Now verse 42. And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb. Honeycomb. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. They evidently knew what Jesus liked. They had walked with him. No doubt they had seen his satisfaction of eating something good, and especially chewing on a big piece of honeycomb. Now then, have you ever given Jesus much honeycomb? Have you ever given your wife some honeycomb, your children some honeycomb? Something sweet. Well, what are the characteristics of a bee? You'd like to be a honeycomb Christian. First of all, you'll have to be before you can make honey. Now, Brother Jack's preached that all over this land. You've got to be born again, or you can never live a Christian life. That's the most wonderful bee in all the world. You must be born again. Boys and girls, have you had a personal experience with Jesus? Do you know him? Mothers and daddies, have you just heard about him, or do you know him as your personal Savior? I heard somebody singing this week, I have been born again. That's it. That's it. Now, you can join the church and never make honey. You can get baptized and never make honey. You can do a lot of good things and yet never get to the beehive with anything sweet. But you've got to be. That's number one. If you forget everything else I say about in the message this morning, just remember this. There's got to be a personal experience. Our people in our six homes, where we have destitute souls, in the alcoholics, narcotic addicts, they get so tired. One lady spoke out, blurted out in a mean, ugly way, and said, I get so tired of hearing, you must be born again. You must be born again. She said, every preacher that comes through here said, you must be born again. And she said, do you just have to preach, you must be born again? I said, yes, until you're born again, we'll keep preaching it.
Yeah.
And then when you get born again, you'll just love to hear, you must be born again. Why, dear friends, you know an old alcoholic needs to be born again. You know that a dope addict needs to be born again. No need spraying a little deodorant on a fellow like that. God help us to see that when Jesus comes into a man's heart, he'll give him a new heart. I mean, he doesn't catch some old second-hand heart like these transplants. He gets a brand new heart to him, made a new creature in Christ Jesus. And when our hearts are changed, our lives will be changed. What about a bee? I said, first of all, if you're going to be a honeycomb Christian, you'll have to be a bee. You'll have to have a real experience. Number two, have you ever heard anybody say, he's busy as a bee? Oh, I've been busy as a bee all day. That's right. You don't find lazy bees. They tell me that a bee that wants buzz and make honey, they kill it. How'd you like to have that in your church? How'd you like to have a business meeting and say, folks, Brother Hyers and just met with the deacons or the leaders and the workers, and we're going tonight to have a recommendation from our people in the church, and we'd like to recommend that every member of our church that doesn't start making honey and get busy, we'll kill him at the end of the month. You suppose that'd reduce your church role?
Yeah.
Can't you just hear people saying, well, I just think that's none of their business, you know. I think that's going too far. Huh? Why don't you just go to work and start making honey and forget about it? Do you think the bees, they've already had their business meeting, and they made a public announcement in all the hives. and said, any bee that doesn't make honey and doesn't go get something sweet and bring it right back to this hive, we'll kill you.
Be dead.
Yeah, be dead. You go ahead, Bill.
I'm with you, though.
Now, amen.
I'm with you.
I never found him when he wasn't. Listen, I'm asking you a question this morning. Would you really like to be a honeycomb Christian? I mean, you wives that's always nervous and nagging, you husbands that come in and tell everything bad that happened on the job, you're not a honeycomb Christian. You're peddling something besides honey. You didn't get any nectar and you know it. You boys and girls come home from school complaining, criticizing the teacher all the time, and fussing and raising Cain around. You're not a honeycomb Christian. You come around, say, hey, Mom, I don't know why everybody else is doing it. Why have you got to be so old-fashioned, and you've got to be so different? Because Jesus made a lot of that smart ass.
Yes.
When you get it old, as Uncle Roly is, and you thank God for an old-fashioned mama.
Right. Praise God.
You boys and girls, if you had half as much sense as some of you think, you'd be present by now. Why don't you listen to Mother and Daddy? They got more sense than you'll have 30 years from now. Busy. God's people ought to be busy. Have you ever known as much idleness?
No.
Brother Jack, isn't it something that the American people work 40 hours a week and say, well, I just don't have time.
Right.
Man, used to, we'd work from can to can. I mean, we'd work until dark. It's dark in the morning, and we'd come in and turn on the old carbide lights in the barn in order to feed the cows and milk the cows. Oh, listen, we didn't have one juvenile delinquent in the Bar County that we knew of. I don't know many that could even spell juvenile. I mean, we just didn't have, we didn't have any crazy people. We had a few that lived stupid. But I mean, they didn't hurt anybody, you know. They just go around and everybody loved them and they loved everybody, see? And they just had the best time, you know. They're happy people in the country look like. I tell you what, I'd rather be like some of those old happy boys and some of these folks with nervous breakdowns today. I'm coming up to that tonight. I'm going to preach the most practical sermon I've ever preached in my life tonight. I want to help you in every department. I want God's people to help. Victory, there's no need. Listen, you can't preach victory to a man out in the world and not practice it yourself. Busy as a bee. You know another thing about a bee is that he sings. You ever know he's humming, singing? If he's flying, he's making music. God made an instrument of music in the wings of a bee. And brother, the only time he's not making music is when he's dead or just still. But when he's flying and when he's making honey, I guarantee he's making music. Brother Jack, you know good and well that so with every church member you've got, if they're busy helping and making honey, they're happy, they're singing, they're witnessing, working, serving, rejoicing. That's the kind of Christians we need today. Honeycomb Christians. Miss Olaf and I was riding along the other day, and she said something rather amazing. And I'm hoping somehow, in some of these years, I don't know when it'll ever be, but I'm hoping that she and I will have a little time when we can, of course, we've been raising children and now six grandchildren, and she thinks she's got to raise all them, I guess. She's with them now and having a great time. Then her daddy's old lady, some odd, but she and I were riding along the other day. She made a statement to me, and I guess I'll carry as long as I live. She said, honey, I've never known you to sound a low note. And I thought to myself, well, thank the Lord she's forgetful. But I mean, I guess I've sounded so few that it made an impression. She said, I've never known you to get discouraged. I've never known you to come home and say, I think I'll quit. I think I'll just give up. Never have. You know, to me, a spirit of victory is worth a lot just to have your companion that knows more about you and that has seen more heartaches and known the burdens at least. Of course, I'll say this. Most of my burdens I've never shared with my wife unless it was necessary. Think that over a little bit. I think sometimes you can just haul nothing but burdens home. I'd rather haul a blessing home. I think sometimes you can just take so many burdens home, your wife will look through the Venetian blind and say, oh, here he comes again. You mothers and daddies think that over a little bit too. Wonder why your children rather go to the neighbors than stay home. Maybe you're putting too many burdens on them instead of blessings. Feed them some honey. Give them a piece of honeycomb to chew on, all right? Something else the bees noted, Farnest flying straight. You read what the bee folks say about bees, and I'll tell you, did you know that a honeybee has just exactly enough fuel to go to the place where he gets his nectar and straight back? He circles around, in it, he'll never make it back. He's got to go straight. Man, I made a beeline. Have you ever heard that? I made a beeline. That means I went straight to that little flower and got me some nectar and came straight back to the bee gum. Put my honey up. Amen? hear me, dear friends. We got too many circling around. I seen you never make it back. Never make it back. I tell you what, I found this out in my flying. I noticed yesterday flying along, I had 760 hours on that plane I bought last year. 760 hours. Can you imagine the days that I've been sitting up there wanting to get there? Somebody said, well, what do you enjoy most about flying? Landing. Hold me. Last Sunday night at 1 o'clock, the other Sunday night at 2 o'clock, I came in and I looked and I said, whoo, yonder's what I've been looking for. Runway lights of home. I could see the old rotating beacon. Listen, dear friends. You know, one of these days, I'm going to land and I'm not going to ask anybody ever for departure control again. I'm on approach control now. That's right. And I'm on heaven's radar. And I'm heading in. But there'll be one thing when I make my landing on that blessed runway in glory. I'll never need departure control. Never will. Brother, I'll never depart. I'll never leave there. You just think about having a permanent home. Brother, I tell you, that's our final vision. That'll be my final, but you know, flying across the country. The straighter I fly, the quicker I'm going to get to my destination. Now, that's not hard to figure out. I just don't like to be, people say, well, Brother Olaf, would you fly over yonder and let's take a look at that lake? I said, no. They said, would you fly, you know, there's a big mountain, would you like to fly over, look out? I said, no, that's not on my journey, I'm going straight. You bring up extra gas, wear out your plane, and lose time, brother. Fly straight. You'll get there quicker. A bee has a straight course. Has a straight course. Now, I know this. I know this. Now, a little bee will circle just a little bit until his radar goes into effect. See, God put on, you know, man's so smart. He's so smart. I tell you, I just get so sick of man. I mean, he's just the biggest smart in it. I left my plane in Dallas and got and condescended to ride like you ride all the time. Brother, isn't it a mess? I mean, isn't it a disgrace? Got on that great big old horse that carried 100-some-odd people, and the people, the stupid idiots, were paying $1 for a little shickle or jickle or something of the poison. May I reach down in my paper sack? That's why you take them in that, huh? You stupid outfit, you. I'll throw something at you. Now, would you let me tell you just how smart God's made me since I started making honey? I mean, since I got in the swarm of bees, this is what happened. I reached down in my sack. I pulled out my grapes. You say, oh, grapes. Grapes. Since the 9 cents a pound. Oh, no. Is that so? I don't care if it's 99 cents a pound. They paid a dollar for that poison, and I got me. I got me 59 cents worth. I'm in the Fort Rodney.
Yeah.
I was one of the smartest men on that plane. Why? Jesus made me like that since I got tangled up with the bee gun. Amen? Don't tell me, buddy. Oh, you say, but Brother Ross, I tell you, that's just too high. I couldn't think about paying 15. Oh, come on. Come on, I'll show you up again. You go down the store and pay 59 cents or more for 1 pound of rotten hog meat. Oh, you start getting mad, well, just help yourself, honey. I'm going to give you a bucket of honey in a minute. Just come on, that's right. You say, oh, Brother Ross, you see what I'm talking about? I'm talking about depravity. The president. You say, well, I just couldn't think of that paying no 59 cents for a pound of grapes. Well, you pay 59 cents for a pound of black blue car coffee. Speeds up your heart. Makes you black on the inside. Don't kid yourself, boys. I'm not half as dumb as I look. Brother, you get to swarming with this bunch of bees. You get in the sweetness of God. You lose your appetite for some of the junk. You ever get to the place where you really want to be able to make a lot of honey, you're going to need a lot of strength, and you're going to learn how to, you're going to have to get on his radar so you can find the sweet stuff out of him. Most of us eating up the devil's garbage piles instead of eating for Jesus like we'll do the Word of God. That's what I'm talking about. Busy. Singing. Stirring. And always looking some sleep. Always looking for something sweet. A little honeybee. You don't find him out in the cucumber patch. You don't find him in the hog pen. Have you ever seen a bee in a hog pen? Have you ever been sitting on a hog pen fence and see a whole swarm of bees come in and say, boy, listen, this old nice hog pen, we'll make us a bee gun. You don't find bees hanging around a hog pen. Let me ask you a question. What's some church member doing on hog pens? Well, you say, would you name them? Well, no, I should let you name them. Anything that's dirty and filthy and ungodly, that's a hog pen. I haven't got time to name all of them. What are you doing on a hog pen if you're a honeybee? I mean, if you're a honeycomb Christian, what are you doing on a hog pen? I'll tell you something else about a honeybee. You don't find him hobnobbing with dirt daubers. And you don't find him running around with a bunch of wasps. And hornets. Bees run your bees. Mm-hmm. Are you still there? Or did I lose you a while ago when I got rid of that, some of that stuff? Did you get mad? No, sir, you said I didn't get mad, all right. Now then, look at what we're going to get. If we, you know, a honeybee has only enough time to make honey. That's all. He gets so busy, and he's got, you see, a honeybee has his goal set for one teaspoonful of honey, and it's going to take him a whole lifetime to make it. He hasn't got time to waste. You mean tell me that a little bee will, and they tell me that a bee, and I don't understand it. I mean, I don't understand it, but I guess they know because they've said so. A bee will fly around the world before he dies. 25,000 miles he's going to fly. And he flies 25,000 miles to make one little teaspoonful of honey. And that's all he makes. And all he gets is his living expenses. Doesn't get a thing. All his savings is putting a bee gun. Every bit of it. You can understand what I'm talking about, can't you? Don't you believe that God's people ought to be like that? Why, Jesus said, lay not up for yourself treasures on earth. That's not the bee gun. But let yourselves treasures. Why? Because you can have some people come along and tap your beehive. And they'll get in and get the honey and pour it to the world. They say, put it up yonder, where neither moth nor rust.
thieves break through, they can't get it.
Brother, you better put your honey where you can get to it later on. All you need is enough to live on while you're down here. And that's it. That's it. If God's people were just as wise as the little bee, how wonderful it would be. Christian, you young people, for just a moment, who do you run with? Who do you run with? We had a little girl come in this week. She's in trouble. Came from Florida. Had one come in from Dayton, Ohio. Only child in the family. Only one. Only one. I just wonder. Of course, mother and dad not Christian. Broke her home the other place. She got a different name. Who's to blame? You boys and girls, you think you can play fast and loose? And some of you church boys and girls, you think, oh, me, I just need a little taste. You know, everybody ought to have a taste of sin. And you know, we ought to just know a little about it. No, you don't need to know about sin.
Amen.
And Brother Jack, I'm just old-fashioned enough to believe that a lot of this little old silly so-called education along some line, as far as I'm concerned, forget it.
Right.
Just forget it. I believe that a boy or girl ought to be just as dumb as my grandma and my mother when they get married. I believe you need to learn that just when it comes time to learn it. And all this business of wasting time and all this, I read the other day a little old cartoon somebody sent in the mail, and the preacher's up, you know, and these great big old fat preachers, he said now, he pronounced them a husband and wife and so forth. Now he said, and now it's just up to the marriage counselors from now on. Marriage counselors, me, I. Brother, it's just up to me and Jesus from now on.
Yeah.
August the 10th, 1968, will mark another year, 33, I guess. 33. And dear friend, don't you tell me Jesus is not sufficient. That's the only marriage counsel I need. This is the only marriage book I need right here. Well, I know Brother Jack might have had to write a book for a lot of people. And it'll be helpful to a lot of people. And he's got a lot of things in how to perform ceremonies and practical things that and how to have meetings of this kind and the other that I know that people need. But I'm simply saying, if he hadn't got a hold of this book, he never could have written what he's written. This is the daddy of his book. And this is just one, his is just those 600 some odd pages. It'd just be one, this book's little offsprings. And that's the biggest compliment I could pay you, brother. Is that God inspired him to write it because he read it in the book. And that book gave him some wisdom and some practical sense. And I want to tell you something else. I'll tell it again tonight. The most practical thing I ever did in my life was become a Christian. The most practical thing I ever did in my life after that was to accept the will of God for my life. Solved every problem I've ever had. Took all the fear away. Left nothing but faith. And it graded the road smooth and straight ahead of me. And boys and girls, I want to tell you something right now. You haven't got but one problem to face. And you might think just because I have two homes for delinquent boys, nothing, three homes really, and then one for girls, you might say, well, what do you teach the boys? Same thing I'm teaching you. Number one, get saved and then find the will of God and do it. And till you get your will of God in your heart and life and know what God has for you to do, you'll never amount to much. Never will. And that goes for everyone. I believe God's got a will written down in the book for every boy and for every girl. I want to tell you something else about a honeybee and a honeycomb Christian. A honeybee always brings his honey to the hive. He brings his honey to the hive. He fellowships with other bees. Now, he could go out there and stick it in the tree. Of course, if you ever thought about a little honeybee, he'd work a whole lifetime and then wouldn't have but a teaspoonful of honey out on a limb somewhere. That wouldn't be very much, would it? But oh, brother, when he comes with 1,000 bees and maybe 10,000 bees and most by 10,000 by one teaspoon, brother, you got a drug of honey. And more. Yes. You know something else, Brother Hiles, and that is when the man who owns the bee guns goes out, they call it robbing. They say, well, he robbed the bees. But you know the little old fellas, they don't go turning in somewhere as a robber. They go and, man, they get back, a flock of them been out working all day and come in, and it's empty. I think the little old fellas said, let's sing the doxology. Man, we got more room for honey. Amen? That's it. That's it. Oh, do you know what I'm talking about? They said, just think about it. Our beehive, our bee dome was running over, and now somebody was gracious enough to come get it and share it, and my little children will be having honey for breakfast in the morning, and children will be having honey on toast, and now then we'll have room for some more honey. Praise God. Well, I'm going to speed up and go back out there and get something for you. Would you like to be a honey song?
Yeah.
I know some people, I think they'd kind of get unhappy about that. Said, look, worked all my life. Gone overnight. Well, if somebody got it and was blessing to give, why do you care?
Right.
So it is far.
Right.
More blessed to give than this to receive. I want to tell you something else sweet about, and I'm going to close the message. Did you know that while a honeybee is picking up sweetness, you could say, well, listen, little honeybee, do you realize that that little flower that puts out the nectar could become mighty unhappy? You're robbing that little flower. Did you know that? Did you know you're taking some of the sweetness from that little flower? I mean, that honeysuckle, my smell so good. And that little rose and all of these sweet flowers, and yet you just come flying right up there. You don't even knock on the door. You don't say, can I have... Why is it reckoned that those flowers just don't say, well, look here, I'll clip your wings. I'll declare, The little flower says, yonder comes a little honeybee. Aye. And I see the little petal, you know. Say, come over here, little honeybee. You know what's happening? Pollination is going on. He's keeping the plants alive. He's sharing dear friend's life as he goes. See? That's the reason the farmers, and that's the reason the groves, and that's the reason the best people in certain businesses, they want people to come and put their honey. Honeybees on their farm. They say, could you bring all your bee gums over my way? And you'll be welcome. Man, listen, we've got a lot of sweet stuff on, and we'll sell it. But what are they doing there? Brother, he's tying them all together. Life! Life. Dear friends, I believe that's so with the right kind of a honeycomb Christian. We got some pollination going on. Do you know that?
Right.
Man, we're getting some more Christians. We're getting some more Christians. We're smoking honey for ourselves. Right there. We're sharing life. We're sharing life. Last of all, and this is last. And this is the last thing that I need to say about a little honeybee. That old fellow's mighty busy. I have a lot of respect for honeybees. Fact is, on our place for girls, we're getting in some bee guns. We got them on the boys' place. I feel like it'd be incomplete if we didn't have some little bees. We got a lot of fruit, you know, down the valley. Oranges. And of course, you know, the little honeybees are having a hard time living now with all insecticides. Poor little fellows have died by the millions. Whole swarms of bees have been wiped out because of man's ignorance. Come to it tonight. But listen, the little old honeybee carries a little protection along with it. It's way back as far as he can put it. It's not up at the front. It's not in his wings. It's in his tail. He has a little bitty stinger. And that's the last thing he ever uses. And Brother Jack, I know you know it. And God bless your heart. I love you in the Lord. I really do. I love Brother Jack. Love him for the stand. I love him for doing some things that he's done. I love him for the liberty that he loves. Love him for some victories down in Texas. But you know, sometimes it's easy to use at the wrong end.
That's right.
Huh? And when they do, it's all over.
Right.
And remember this, honeycomb Christian, when the little bee begins to sting, he's either sitting down or backing up. He's not going forward at all. He's not getting sweetness out of the flower. The little fella is singing his swan song. He might think he's right, and he might say, well, you have no business to take my life like this.
Maybe some little old mean boy grabs him in the hand and said, "Listen, you little honeybee, you." And the little bee has a desperate thought and said, "If he keeps me, I'll never make any more honey, and I'd rather be dead than to not make honey. If he's going to lock me up in a little fist, or if he's going to put me in a jar where I can never fly and bring something sweet back to the beehive, I have no desire to live." And the little fellow pays with his life. His last fight is a protest. Say, "Son, I've either got to make honey or die. Would you like to be a honeycomb Christian?" In Baylor, the first song that I ever had for my theme song in my ministry, "Would you be a victor over every foe, conquer every trial in this old world below, overcome temptation that each day you meet, just keep in touch with Jesus, he will keep you sweet. Keep in touch with Jesus, though your path be dim, let no cloud nor shadow sever you from him. Joy or sorrow greet you, friend or foe you meet, just keep in touch with Jesus, he will keep you sweet." He's the only one that I know of that'll keep all of his honeybees sweet. Bow your heads while we pray.